when we get saved, it establishes an eternal relationship with God. And you're going to see in Revelation 3 some of the fruit of that, the connection of that, because Jesus is going to say that he is the Amen. And that's going to be our focus today in the message, is Jesus using a title about himself as the Amen. And so if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, the title of the message is Laodicea, When Christ is Your Amen. Very interesting study to do on that. I have to say it's the first time that I've spent this much time and just primarily studied the title of Christ as the Amen. Because if you remember, before we read this text, because it's real important, however Jesus introduces himself at the beginning of each one of these letters is the need that that particular church had. And in this particular church, the need was truth, and it was Jesus as the Amen. And really, I believe that we are in that church Laodicea age, and I think we are still partially in the Philadelphia age, and all of these church ages has something to offer to us. Now, let's go ahead and read all of it from verses 14 to verse 22, and I'm in the New King James Version. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. By the way, that's your definition for the Amen right there. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, nothing new. The truth in Jesus is from the beginning. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. Now listen to what Jesus says. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Naked means sin is exposed. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Now, verse 19 tells us he's talking to Christians that have become lukewarm. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you for this scripture. And God, we pray that this morning you would help us to see all that is in Jesus Christ. And Father, just how wonderful that connection by your Holy Spirit is to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how valuable and how precious this relationship is. And let it be, Lord, the fuel for our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just a few things about Laodicea. You know, these churches form on a map in Asia. They form a circle. And we know that we've come all the way around. We have already come back to Laodicea. It was the seventh church that Jesus used. And he used seven churches. He could have used eight or nine. He could have used 10 or 12. I think he used seven because he's looking at the church age. And so all of these churches refer to the church age. And in particular, this church is the last church in the era before Jesus comes back in the appearing in the rapture. Now, nobody in that day, nobody in the first church knows when Jesus is coming back. From Pentecost to today, Jesus could come back. We don't know when he's coming back. He could come back before I finish this message today. He could come back tonight. He could have come back last month or last year or 100 years ago or 500 years ago. That's all in the hands of Jesus Christ. But all of these churches apply to you and I today. So Laodicea was a town that was in the Lycus River Valley that is in present-day Turkey. In fact, all these churches in Asia Minor are in that present-day Turkey geography. The town was sitting on a flat top, kind of up high a little bit, but very flat. And down in the valleys, they raised a lot of sheep, in particular a lot of the black wool type sheep that produced the black wool, because they had a textile industry there and they made a lot of the wools and a lot of garments that were very expensive that they sold. And so this place was very industrious in its day. It was a place of medicine and the medical field. In fact, there were two well-known doctors that were very famous from Laodicea, and their names actually appear on the coins of the city, and Zeuxis and Alexander Philethes. And even Aristotle spoke of the medicines that were from Laodicea. In particular, they even had this powder, and you could mix water with it, and it would make a paste, and you could use it for an eye salve or an eye medicine to help you with your seeing. And Jesus is referring to these things. He's using it as a contrast to teach spiritual things. So when you're reading about this church of Laodicea in Revelation, what you're seeing is he's taking the culture of their day, he's taking the wealth and the industry of their day, and he's using it as a backdrop or as a contrast to who he is. There's mineral waters that came from upstream that came down, hot mineral waters, and they would use these mineral waters, and after they dyed the wools and got them just right and mixed with the colors that they wanted, they would clean them and wash them in these hot mineral springs to test that, to test for the fading and things of that nature before they sold these garments. And so Jesus is going to refer to hot or cold. I've drank mineral water here and there. Have y'all ever drank a warm mineral water? Man, it's nasty. Just a room temperature mineral water. It's nasty. I like it. It's got to be really cold. But they would take the mineral water in their day, and they would take the hot mineral water, and they would mix it with wines and things like that back in their day. So Jesus is using normal, typical things that they understood. And so I wanted to kind of shed a little light on that before we move even further into the outline. And Teresa's favorite saying, I say it so much, she tells me sometimes, oh, you say that so much. But I'm like an Egyptian mummy pressed for time this morning. Let's go ahead and break this down. When Christ is your amen, we will believe what he says. Look at verse 14. And to the angel, now we know that the angel is the word angelos, means messenger. And this is the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write. Now, Jesus doesn't waste any time. He says, these things says the Amen. He knew they needed to hear from the title God of the truth. Now, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that Jesus is truth incarnate. But Jesus wants us to understand something about the truth. Jesus didn't become truth at Bethlehem. Jesus was truth from everlasting. That's why he says from the beginning of the creation of God in your text. He says, these things says the Amen. It's capital A. It is a title he gave himself. And he says, the faithful and true witness. That's the definition of the Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. He's saying, this is Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus, always remember this, especially in your witness or when you're doing missionary work. Jesus is God. Jesus didn't become all that he is at Bethlehem. Jesus already was before Bethlehem. He just took on the incarnation at Bethlehem. Very important. These people needed to know it because they're lukewarm in their faith. They've now got to a point where religion is taking over relationship. Now what they're doing is they're going through obligation. Well, today's the day I'm supposed to do this or that. Well, you know, that I've just got to do my obligations before God. And Jesus is saying, I'm so much more than that. He's saying, I'm your Messiah. I am your truth. I am your Amen from all of eternity. I am the one that comes to live in your heart by the Holy Spirit. I am the one that gives you guidance every day. I am the one that blesses your life. I am the one that gives you the skills that you have. I am the one that is answering your prayers. And I don't want you to ever forget it, because the day that you forget it, you will begin to fade in your walk with me, and you'll become lukewarm. And what? I want to spit you out of my mouth. And so that's what he's talking about. I want to read a verse out of Matthew 21, 22. Matthew 21 is all about the triumphal entry. Verses 21 and 22 says this. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, But also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Now watch this. Don't miss verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer. Now this is Jesus talking. He gives us something about that. He gives us a verb in the verse. And whatever things you ask in prayer, his next word is what? Believing. Then he says, you will receive. And so that's the key to believing in the Amen, that God is the God of truth, the Amen. You know, Donald Fleming in Bridgeway Commentary says, God will not honor his promises, which are invariably true, but he will sum them up with a heavenly Amen. God's word is the last word because God is the Amen. Have you ever thought about it when we pray? What's the last thing we do? We say Amen. Now, Amen can mean so be it. In the case right here of Amen, it literally means that he is of the truth. He transcends all belief systems, everything. Jesus is saying, I transcend them all. I transcend every religion. I transcend every belief system because I have the credentials to do so. Number one, because Jesus says I'm God. Number two, that he's from the beginning of creation. None of us are. We were created, but we're not from the beginning of creation. Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, was there when the world was created. But secondly, and it's on your outline, we glorify him when he is your Amen. We glorify him as we activate his promises by faith in our daily life. Oh my goodness, I can't tell you how important this is. Jesus came to save us, to change us, and to make us new creations. But when he came to save us, he came to bring adventure of faith into our life. He wants to do amazing things on a daily basis. Jesus doesn't want to save us and then just write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life and walk off and say, okay, everything's done, you're ready for heaven. No, there's a sanctification process. When he saves us, he wants to take over in life. He becomes the new boss. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And he wants to have a relationship every day. And that relationship shows up the most intimately in our prayer time. It's in our prayers. What motivates you to pray? Think about your prayers. Think about the motive behind your prayers. Think about the things that you pray and ask yourself, is this what Jesus is wanting to do in my life today? What is it he's trying to accomplish? And you tell yourself and you ask yourself and you pray and you say, Jesus, change, make my prayers the prayers that fit your will. Adjust my prayer life to fit your will for my life. And watch what God will do. He will literally change your life. I want to read these verses. Look at verse 15 through 18. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you, some translations say, out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing. In other words, this is describing a church, a people that have become dependent upon their wealth over their dependent upon their Lord. He says, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now watch verse 18. He says, I counsel you. Whenever you see Jesus say, I counsel you, have you ever wanted to be counseled by the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here you are right here. Here he is counseling us. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. We'll look at what that means in just a second. That you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed. That's the righteous acts of the saints on these white garments. That's not the robe of righteousness that we get at salvation. This is the white garments, the linen garments he talked about in the latter part of Revelation, as well as the righteous acts that he does through us as we submit to him. I'm going to illustrate that in just a minute. There's a verse I want you to write down. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It's very powerful. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Watch this. To the glory of God through us. So he's saying all the promises that have been made of our redemption and everything else in the Old Testament are where? In him. And what are they? Yes. Meaning that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. Jesus is the only one with the credentials as the Amen from everlasting, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, to look into our hearts and make an honest evaluation of our life, just as he's done to Laodicea, and he is the only one by which anything can be fulfilled. If it can't be fulfilled in Christ, it can't be fulfilled. Or if it's not being fulfilled because of the purpose of Christ, it cannot be fulfilled. And that's why there's not a single no. All of them are yes, and in him, amen. So be it. The truth. Why? To the glory of God through us. Now connect that to your walk with Jesus, to your prayer life with Jesus. Whenever we are living day to day and praying day to day to bring glory to God through the Amen that is Jesus Christ, our lives will change remarkably. Big time. Matter of fact, you've been tuned for it. Cleo, will you do me a favor? Will you call a turkey? Yeah. Take it down there, will you? And just keep it, will you, till after church. Now, if you got a shotgun on you, keep your barrel down because it's not real. Now, what I have right here is a quail. And Cliff, try to call that quail with a turkey call. That quail's not moving. Come on, give him a little bit more, a little more. There you go. Now, if that was a real turkey, that thing would go to strutting. And he'd throw his fan out. But this is not real. This quail, of course, this quail's not real either. But this quail cannot respond to the turkey call. If I tried to call this quail with a deer call, with a predator call, with any other, a duck call, or anything else, the quail can't respond because the quail has not been given a nature to respond to that kind of a call. But you and I'm going to compare us to turkeys. You and I are like a turkey. And whenever the Lord Jesus saves us and comes to live in our heart, he has established us to hear him, to hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They don't hear another voice. They hear my voice. And then he uses the word of God. The word of God is like the call. That's like the call that he's using. He uses God's word and the Holy Spirit. And he is now speaking with us. And what we want to do is we want to align our thinking with his will. It's kind of like this church. This church is built on a foundation. This is the foundation by which the building is built. Underneath this, it was completely designed for everything you see. The slope in the floor, all the piers that were poured for the columns, everything was done where plumbing is sticking up, where electrical comes out. Everything was designed in this foundation for the building that sets on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that we are God's building and that we're building a foundation. We're building on that foundation, and there is no other foundation, Paul says, except for that of Christ. So Christ, in the gospel, in the redemption story, has designed a foundation by which the redeemed can be placed on that foundation. And when they're placed on that foundation through salvation, then that foundation, that building grows on that foundation, which is Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. When you read that, there is no other foundation. When the winds and the storms come, it's going to blow off if it's any other foundation. He's saying, if God is your amen, he's saying he has already done the foundation from the beginning of time. He's died on the cross. He's resurrected from the grave. The foundation has been ordered so that when you believe, you can't go and jump on a different foundation. You jump on a foundation of putting your trust in anything other than Jesus Christ, you're going to find out your building don't fit. You're going to find out that the building is not corresponding with the foundation. And that's the whole point that he's trying to make over here in Revelation. He's saying you're lukewarm because you've walked off of the foundation. So we activate his promises by faith in our daily life. Now, he told us to, by the way, I want you to write down a verse. I don't want to skip this real quick. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. Very powerful verse. A lot of translations have taken out the word amen to make it easier to understand because not very many people study the title amen in the Bible, for one thing. I have to admit, I've been in pulpit ministry for like 20 years, and I've never studied the title amen until this week. But I discovered something that I didn't know. And you can find it in the Common English Bible and other, and a few other translations. But when you read chapter 65, verse 16 in Isaiah, he says, so that he who blesses, by the way, he's comparing his servants to the wicked. He's comparing the saint to the saved to the unsaved, sharing how that works. Now, verse 16 says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. If you look that God of truth, if you look up that word truth in verse 16, it'll take you to the Hebrew word amana or amen. Some translations just go ahead and use it. And it'll say, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the amen. The very same thing that Jesus called himself in Revelation 3. Will bless himself in the amen. What he's saying right here, Isaiah the prophet is saying, he's saying you can't have blessings in this earth. You're not going to be able to bless yourself in this earth apart from the coming Messiah. Apart from faith in that Messiah. Faith in that Jesus. And he's saying that's who you'll bless yourself in the God of amen. And he who swears in the earth, that means aligns themselves with the things of God. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Listen to it the other way. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the amen. Because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. And I want to just to get it in context. For behold, now you're going to hear something right here you've heard in Revelation. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Powerful. That's why so much of Revelation alludes to the book of Isaiah. Now, real quick, let's get the three meanings on the last point here. We resist the devil and embrace face. Number one, gold. What is the gold? Now, I want to look at that again. He says, I counsel you, buy from me, I'm in verse 18 of Revelation 3, to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Jesus is making himself as a merchant. He's using the illustration that he's a merchant. And he's saying, I want you to buy from me something. Now, we know we don't have to buy it. It's free. But he's just using it as part of the contrast, the illustration. Buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations of what that gold is. Some say that it's our faith. Our faith is that gold that we're buying. But this is Jesus saying, you're buying it from me. It's something that he possesses. It's something that he has. And it's been refined in the fire. Jesus, hanging on the cross, shed his blood so that we could be born again. He is the one who was refined for us and came out as the innocent Lamb of God who took in substitution our sin debt on the cross. The blood of Jesus is the gold by which our faith and our grace has been entrusted. Without the blood of Jesus, there can be no atonement of sin. The most valuable thing we can ever have on our heart is the covering of the blood of Jesus. Because there's not a human being on this planet whose blood can stand before God because we have the sin nature. But Jesus saying, I was on the cross. My blood was accepted as your atonement. My blood is what gets you into glory. And then there's another one. He says, secondly, the white garments. He says, to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed. Why? He's saying, because you're not focused on me, because you've lost aligning and corresponding your building to the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, you're living lukewarm. And sin is really getting back into your life, and you're born again and you're saved, but because you're not walking in the Spirit, you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and what you really are is you're in a place of shame, and it's the shame of your nakedness. God sees the sin. He says, but you need to buy some white garments. Your works need to change. Your life needs to change. How you're living needs to change. You got to start asking for repentance. You got to start asking for forgiveness. And you got to start confessing your sins and draw close to me in prayer and let me do a work. Get back in your word again. Get back in the Bible so that your life will change. And then he says something's going to happen to your eyes. So when the blood's been applied and the new creation is walking according to the foundation, then all of a sudden how we see looks different. He says, and anoint your eyes with eyesalve. So the white garments are the new creations. That's who you are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the eyesalve is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because once you get your life right with God and with Christ again, now you're sensitive to what you've been hindering, what you've been grieving. Now you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he says, anoint your eyes with eyesalve that you may see. The eyesalve is conviction of the Holy Spirit. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So we know he's talking to Christians. He says, therefore be zealous and repent. And in verse 20 is our invitation. It's our invitation today. It's an invitation in two ways. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, if you look at the very beginning of the seven churches, Jesus was walking among his lampstands. The Bible pictured him walking in the church, among the people. Here, we see him, we know he's walking in the lampstands, but he's picturing himself as standing outside the church. Because the church has forgot Jesus. That's what it amounts to. He's standing outside the door of his people. Make it personal. He's standing outside the door of his people and he's knocking and he's saying, let me back in. Let me back in and I'll show you what I can do. Let me back in. Satan lies to us. And Satan tells us that the closer we get to Jesus, the harder things will be. The worse life will be. Sometimes it is harder when we get close to Jesus. But you won't have a life of faith and seeing him answer prayers and all those things until you get in alignment with him. There's nothing that makes me happier to see Jesus answering prayers in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And you may be in here this morning and perhaps you've realized that you've been listening to a lot of voices and a lot of things, but not to the Savior. Not to the one that left heaven and came to the earth. You may say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. I repented of my sins. I gave my heart to Jesus years ago. But when I read that part about being lukewarm, that fit me. I know I'm lukewarm. I've lost my zeal. I've lost my passion. And I want it back. Oh, God, bring it back. Would you pray that? Pray from your heart that that would come back. Take the building, take your life, and align it with the foundation that is in Christ. It will fit. And let him grow you. Let him use you. Let him do great and mighty things through you. You may be in here and perhaps you've never put your faith in Jesus. And you say, you know, the Holy Spirit's convicting me of my sin. I realize for the first time I've been running from God. I'm sinning against God and I give you my life right now, Lord Jesus. I believe in you from my heart and I repent. And I ask you to forgive me today. Change my life. Forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Doesn't mean we don't confess sins as life goes. It means that we will positionally be born again because Jesus took our sin debt and paid it in full on Calvary's cross. He paid a debt that he did not owe. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. You may be in here this morning and God has put it on your heart that this is the church he wants you to join, that he wants you to identify with. You can do that as soon as the invitation begins. If you've been born again and you believe that Jesus is the only way, there's no other way, and you want to be a part of this church as a member, and you say, I had never been baptized, but I believe, we can take care of that baptism. You say, I've been born again and I've been baptized, and I believe in the Bible. I believe every word from the first verse to the last verse. And I believe that Jesus is God and there's no other way to heaven except through him. Then you can come forward today and you can say, I want to put my membership in this church to show the world that I identify with Christ's body. Would you do that today? Lord, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.